the three types of suffering. So the first one is wanting something and not getting what you want. The second one is getting what you want and losing it. Mm-hmm. The third one is difficult to understand, but it is at the source of Buddha's teaching about dukkha. Mm-hmm. What is suffering? Suffering, what is actually going on, is the underlying need to always have something different. So from one second to the next, for instance, we eat something that tastes really good and we're really satisfied, so we want more. Then we eat and we get a stomach ache. Then we have a stomach ache, we try to get rid of the stomach ache. We get rid of the stomach ache, but we realize now we're hungry again. So just to see that moment by moment, there is no resting point in samsara. There's no place where you say, this is it, because it never stops. It's always in motion. When we talk about change, impermanence, that's what we're pointing to, the fact that nothing stays the same. Ever. So it's good, it's bad, it's whatever it is, but it's not the same. And our tendency is to grasp onto what we like, thinking it's going to always be like that, like a relationship. I love this person, so I'm always going to feel this way about this person. So if this person changes, then I'm shocked. If you don't prepare, the whole idea of the four thoughts that turn the mind, look at what that means. For these four ideas, when you think about them, it turns your mind away from our normal, obsessive, insane way of viewing the world. In order to stimulate that, these four thoughts stimulate that. The idea that, wow, I have a wonderful opportunity here, but it's impermanent. And my actions, they depend on what is going to happen to me, whether I'm going to be stable or not. So, but the final kicker is, but what about my joys and pleasures? Mm-hmm. I find life is interesting and beautiful and wonderful. And okay, really? Let's look at that carefully. All places, friends, joys, and possessions continually torment us. Why? How do they torment us? The three types of suffering. If we don't have them, we want them. If we have them, we're afraid of losing them. And then ultimately, they don't bring us ultimate satisfaction. They change. We change. Everything changes moment by moment. So there's no ultimate satisfaction there. Now, the last part of that is, let us diligently mm-hmm. practice the Dharma, mm-hmm. okay? Because practicing the Dharma is reorienting. It's simply about reorienting the mind. So instead of looking at our moment by moment to find the satisfaction that's completely elusive, do you understand that word? Elusive. It's like a mirage. It's like uh-huh. a dream. It doesn't exist. This ultimate satisfaction that we're seeking through places, friends, joys, and possessions. So where are we going to find it then? Wisdom and compassion. Mm-hmm. That's where we're going to find it. When we reveal the truth of our inner nature, then all the rest of this rearranges itself in relationship. And that is the promise of the Dharma. That is the ultimate view, is that we no longer just see this pocket of experience contained or prisoned in many ways in this body, relating with all of these things that are impermanent. We don't go there. We go to the essence of who we are. We find what is our ultimate nature. Because according to these teachings and according to our experience, when we are in the heart of compassion, we are fulfilled. It is inseparable from bliss. Wisdom and bliss are inseparable. They say emptiness and bliss. Well, you know, because emptiness, we go, yeah, what does that mean? You know, but it's the wisdom and compassion, the essence of that. The essence of that is blissful experience, because we're completely open and free. We are free. We know we have whatever we need to meet the moment. And there is no more delicious, blissful experience than sharing our love with another being. Jason was asking, where is the mercy, misericordia? Where is the mercy? I see, you know, we hear talk about compassion, but the essence of compassion is mercy. And mercy is the understanding that it's difficult. This is not an easy thing we're trying to do. We have the power of our mind, which is one of the greatest powers on this planet, and we are trying to refocus that power, where it's already established all of these ways of being that are protective measures, mostly. You know, mostly the mind is trying to protect us and also give us enough bliss so that we want to procreate. But it's a bigger picture than that. It's a bigger story than that. We are not only these physical bodies. That's the DNA that's built into the physical body. But there is this subtle DNA that has to do with emotion and even more power, mind, awareness beyond mind. That is a different story.